Today we're looking at the Revelation, the book of Revelation, as we continue in our study. And we're looking at Revelation 21, verse 1, down through verse 6 or 7 or thereabouts. Revelation 21, 1 through verse 6 or 7 or thereabout. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 5. Behold, I make all things new. You see that? Now, the one who says this has the power and will to bring it to pass. I can say, well, I'm going to make all things new, and it's not going to come to pass. The one who speaks this has the will, ability, and power to bring it to pass. It says right down here in the next verse, it is done. It's done. It's already done. It's done because he's decreed it from all eternity. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write it down. For these words are true. Every word of God is true. Every word of God is faithful. He is the true and faithful God, the true and faithful witness. Behold, I make all things new, everlastingly new. Never going to get old and never going to vanish away, this new heaven and new earth. Now, what a glorious thought to carefully consider. He said in verse 4, the former things are passed away. The last part of verse 4, you see that? The former things are passed away. I make all things new. We rejoice to know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again very soon. And when he comes, he's going to make everything brand new, as we used to say, brand spanking new. Brand spanking new. I got a bicycle for my birthday, and it was brand spanking new. But it grew old. I wore it out. This new creation that he brings with him, it'll never get old. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14. Verse 1 through 4. We started in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, and the Lord declares unto us, he said, behold, I come. Behold, he cometh. That means he's on his way. Revelation chapter 1 begins with the Lord coming. And then you know how the book ends? Revelation 22, verse 20. Turn there. Revelation 22, verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Verse 20, even so, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus Christ. He comes quickly. In that day, every trace of sin will be removed. All things in the new creation will be made perfect, like unto that first creation that Adam enjoyed before sin entered into this world. Remember when God created all things in Genesis chapter 1, he said this, and God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. He said it was very good. In this new heaven and new earth, it's going to be very good. It'll be perfect. Perfect. We read last week, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Remember we read he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth are going to pass away. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The works also shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ye ought to be in all holy conduct, conversation, godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his word, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. 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 Believers will have in that new day a glorified body, perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. and we shall enjoy him and worship him forever and ever and ever with no sin in this new body that's perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Now, a lot of religious people, they hate this particular word called predestination. They just can't take the word of God. But the word of God uses that word predestination 4 times. And every time he uses that word predestined or predestination, it's talking about God making his people just like the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. A person says, I don't believe in predestination. He's saying to you, I don't want to be like Christ. Because that's what predestination is about. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? I know what a lot of people say. That ain't right. That's not fair. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I like that, don't you? That's the economics of grace. Free. Everything's free. We'll never in this new city with this new body weary or tire or be tired of singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, power, now and forever, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Who loved us? Who washed us? We didn't wash ourselves. He loved us. He washed us and made us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be all the honor and glory, both now and forever and ever and ever. Now we come to the glorious conclusion of God's revelation unto John in the last 2 chapters. And remember how we started out in Revelation 1:1. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation that God gave him of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see now when we get to chapter 21, we see the devil and his allies and followers and friends have all been righteously judged and cast out to the eternal torments of eternal condemnation, eternal separation. Remember chapter 20, verse 10. The devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophets are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil's been taken out. His allies have been taken out. And they suffer the eternal condemnation of God Almighty. You may remember the Lord said in Matthew 25 that there's a place called hell that's prepared for the devil and his angels. Some false prophet said years ago, hell is a monument to the failure of God. You imagine such a statement? Hell is a failure to the a monument of the failure of God. That's not true. It's rather a monument to the holiness and righteousness of God. God knows nothing of failure. It's a monument to the holiness and righteousness of God. It's not a monument to God's failure. It's a monument to God's justice. We read in Psalm 89:14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. In Revelation 19:2, it said, true and righteous are his judgments. True and righteous are his judgments. His judgments are true and righteous. Turn one page to Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge. In righteousness he does make war. True and righteous are his judgments, are true and righteous altogether, altogether. Look at chapter 22, verse 6. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of his holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly come to pass. His sayings are faithful and true. Everything he says is faithful. Everything he says is true. We've seen also the just and final end of all the wicked. In chapter 20, verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which are in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, according to their deeds. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Eternal judgment of God. We also see in these last two chapters the glorious state of the righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have now is a foretaste of what we shall fully and completely and eternally enjoy in that glorified state. We have a foretaste of it now. We have Christ now. All grace now, as the old timers used to say from the book of Psalms, all grace now and glory forever, forever and ever. When the Lord comes again, this earth, as we know, will be purged, cleansed with fire, and the Lord will make a new heaven and a new earth. Every trace of sin that marred the original creation will be removed, purged away by fire. Every mark of death will be gone forever. What a glorious revelation that is totally beyond our comprehending. Now, he puts it in word that we might somehow grasp it, but to fully enter into the glories of the eternal bliss we shall have with the Lord Jesus Christ, who can fully understand? When the Apostle Paul was taken to that third heaven, you remember in 2 Corinthians 13, he writes about it. When he came back, he said, I can't even talk about it. I don't have words. There are not words that we can comprehend to see these things or to know of these things. But he puts it in a way here for us that we might get some kind of grasp. In our fallen state, we see through a glass darkly. Now, Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. No more, and there was no more. Now, he says that. I love that statement. He uses it repeatedly. No more, no more, no more. John, as he received this revelation from the angel about the glory of God's church and the glory of God's heaven, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old creation is gone and remade into a new universe. Now, many think, and I think along this same line, but if I'm wrong, that's okay. Many of the writers that I read, they say it will be the same earth, the same heaven, only completely restored to its original pristine estate, no sin. No possibility of it being ruined again. John saw a new creation, but now watch it, not another. He saw a new creation. The old creation was gone. The old creation was regenerated, rejuvenated, remade by the almighty power of God. Now, turn over here to chapter 5, verse 10. Do you remember this statement here? Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Where it talks in verse 9, Revelation 5, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Revelation 5, verse 9. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now let's start talking about this old creation. It's talking about that new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteousness, and we shall reign with him. So he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away by the decree of God, by the purging away of all sin that marred the first creation. And then he said there was no more sea. No more sea. No more sea. Now, in the scripture, the sea usually is a type and picture of trouble. It's a symbol of trouble. In Isaiah 57, for example, the wicked are like a troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The sea here is a symbol of trouble, turmoil, commotion. You remember that recent hurricane that hit Florida? Ian? People probably wished in that disaster, they were probably wishing, I wish there was no more sea, no more trouble. No more trouble. Remember in Revelation 13, the beast rose up out of the sea. Remember? That beast that represented the ungodly governments of this world that have always been with us since the fall. In Revelation 17, verse 1, it talks about the great whore of false religion set upon the many waters of the sea. But in this new creation, no more sea. No more sin, no more turmoil, no more heartache, no more trials, no more enemies, nothing but peace, no more separation. All is peace forevermore, as the old song used to go, peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Turn over here to Revelation 22, look at verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see it, Revelation 22, 3. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, face to face. And his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candlelight, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever with the Lord in this new heaven and a new earth. Those who have been made new creatures in Christ shall have a new creation to enjoy, fully enjoy. This is all due to the redemptive blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. All due to the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus Christ, establishing righteousness for us and putting away our sin. Now, how good do you have to be to stand before God in this new heaven and new earth as perfect as God? Well, preacher, how can that be? God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without work, saying, their sin is gone, saying, their iniquities have been removed. No more see. Look at verse 2. And I, John, saw by the revelation of Almighty God, I, John, saw the holy city, this holy city, this new Jerusalem, this new heaven and new earth, and this holy city, this new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. John also is given the glorious vision of the church. This is a picture of the church, the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed pictured here by this holy city, this new Jerusalem. Notice in verse 10, Revelation 21, he carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even jasper stone, clear as crystal. Talking about the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord. Now this is not a literal walled city. Remember, this is a symbolic picture. The wall symbolizes safety. This is a picture, redeemed of the Lord, pictured by this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming from God out of heaven. Turn to this reference. Find Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. You remember we saw this all the way back here in chapter 3, Revelation 3, verse 12. And him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him a new name. A new name. We have a new name. We've been made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's called a holy city because we've been purged with the blood of Christ. His blood cleanses us from all our sin. That's the only way we can be made holy. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. It's called a new city. A new city, a holy city, a new Jerusalem. Everything about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is new. Ever new. It never fades away. It never grows old. The Lord, when he instituted the Lord's table, said, "A new testament, a new covenant in my blood." We're made new creatures in Christ. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We have in the Lord Jesus Christ a new and living way. We read in the book of Hebrews, don't turn, let me just read it to you. In chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he made new for us through the veil of his flesh." He bare our sin in his own body on the tree. He said, "Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We sing in Revelation 5, we just read it a moment ago, the new song of redemption. The new song of redemption. In Psalm 98, we've looked at this several times. Verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he had done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory for us." That's the song we sing. He's worthy of all honor, praise, and glory. The Lord gives us, in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us a new name. We saw that also back in Revelation chapter 2. Turn over there. When he writes to the letter to the church of Pergamos. And look at verse 17. Revelation 2, verse 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it." We have a new heaven, a new earth. We have a new name. We have a new body, a new creation in Christ. Everything is made new. Now notice this city, back in our text, this holy city, this new Jerusalem, it comes down from God. It's of God. It's not the bottom up, it's the top down. And the same thing it's saying, that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation comes down from God. He planned it in all eternity. We read in Revelation 13, verse 8, that he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before Adam ever sinned, who stood as a surety? The Lord Jesus Christ, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He planned it in eternity, and in time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us. He built it with his own hand, this new city, this new Jerusalem, this church of the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased with his blood. He built it with his own hand. We are born from above by the Spirit of God. He said to Peter, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now the next thing he says there, "prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now on that special wedding day, you ladies take special care to prepare, don't you? To prepare. You wear a special dress. You do things to your hair. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you adorn yourself to present yourself to your husband and to that congregation as a bride adorned. But here is talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ has made us in him. Prepared as a bride adorned for the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, look at verse 9 in chapter 21. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had his seven vials full of the last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." You see, we're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called our husband. You remember back in chapter 19, turn over there. The last part of verse 6 says, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Revelation 19, you remember verse 7? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. He's clothed us with the garments of salvation. He's made us in the Lord Jesus Christ prepared. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Now don't turn, but let me read this to you. Remember in Matthew 25, that word there, prepared? He prepared us. The king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We appear unto him as a bride adorned and prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looks at us and he sees us without spot, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. As a bride adorned for her husband, prepared by God Almighty. His church is described as a city, safe, secure, permanent, not a tent, nothing temporary. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is the city we have. Christ is our dwelling place. That's what it says in the next verse. Look at verse 3. And I heard a great voice. I heard a great voice out of heaven. This is the voice of our God. He's great. Behold, he said, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I will, and they shall. The tabernacle in the wilderness was set up as a place of worship and communion with the Lord. He says in Leviticus 26, I will set up my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ came in time and tabernacled among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. We have his presence here today in the church. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst. He's with us today. He's promised to meet with us. He's with us today. You say, well, I don't see him. I don't feel him. He didn't ask you to see or feel. He said, believe my word. Where two or three meet in my name, that's where I am in the midst of you. The Lord has said in this life, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake you. But this is a special presence of the Lord with his people in glory, which shall never end, never be interrupted, never a distraction in this life, or be clouded by the vile nature of our sinful flesh. In that blessed day, our worship and fellowship and communion with him will be absolutely perfect. He will delight in us, and we will delight in him forever. I like the language, and it's the language of grace. I will dwell with them, and they shall be my people. And God himself shall be with them. I will, and they shall. That's what we read over there in Hebrews chapter 8. But listen to this covenant promise. It's given many places in Scripture. In Jeremiah 31, he said, This is a covenant that I will make after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward part and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will. Whose will now? God's will. I will, and they shall be my people. Now look at verse 4, and we're going to have to quit with verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no reason to cry, neither shall there be any more pain. All those former things are passed away. Passed away. What comfort and peace we shall enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember we had the glimpse of this back in chapter 7. Turn over there, Revelation chapter 7. And one of the elders, verse 13, Revelation 7, answered, saying unto me, What are these, or who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What will it be to be with the Lord forever with no sin, to have a perfect body, no more sin, consequently no more death? The cause of sorrow and grief shall be removed. No reason to cry. Former things are passed away. You know, when you close, when you read the last two chapters of the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 65 and 66, we have this promise. God said, Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind again. Former things are passed away. Let's take a look at verse 5. He that sat upon the throne, Revelation 21, verse 5, said, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write it down. These words are true. These words are faithful. He is called the true and faithful witness. The Lord upon his throne says, I make all things new. His words are faithful and true. As we've said in Scripture, it says it's impossible for God to change. Right? He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. It's impossible for God to lie. All the promises of God in him are yes and in him and amen. His words are faithful. Not one word he has promised shall ever fail. Failure is not a possibility. He said, I've spoken it, I bring it to pass, I purpose it, I will do it. His words are true. Every word that the Lord has spoken is absolutely true. You can trust him fully. Everything he has written, for he is the true and faithful witness. The true and faithful witness. Write these words. These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, verse 6, and we'll pick up here next week, it's done. It's done. Now, aren't you glad salvation is a done deal? What did the Lord say upon Calvary's tree? It is finished. It's a done deal. Signed, sealed, and delivered.